We've come to Beverly Hills, California to visit with a prolific writer of radio and television programs, a gentleman who, among other things, created with his partner Dick Chevrolet, in our opinion, one of the best radio shows of all time, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Ray Singer, we're delighted to be with you today.
Well, thank you very much, Chuck. I'm delighted to have you here, you and your lovely wife.
Thank you. You have really quite a, you must have a trunk full of terrific scripts and memories of all the things that you did.
I have, yes, I have. Scripts, memories, tapes, films, things.
The works.
It's been a wonderful life, I must say.
Well, let's talk about that great life of yours. When did you first write professionally?
In 1938.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, I was writing songs, trying to write songs, special songs, and there was a gal who had a 15-minute radio show on WOR in New York,
mm-hmm.
and she used one of my songs as a theme song, pardon me. She's also doing another show, a half-hour show, an afternoon show at CBS,
mm-hmm.
Comedy Variety, and one day I went down to that show to see her about something, and I sat in the control room and listened to the comedy. And I said to myself, I can do better than this. So I proceeded to do so, and that's how I started.
Now, who was she?
I can't even remember her name. It's so long. It's then.
It's
50 years ago.
Oh, boy.
I can't remember that. I remember her name on the show was Torchy. That's all I can remember.
Uh-huh.
And then I worked on the Phil Baker radio show for Dole Pineapple Juice. And the Andrews sisters were on that. That was their first radio show at the time, and Ralph Edwards was the substitute announcer.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Substitute for Harry Van Zyl. I just saw Patty. I see Patty quite often. Mm-hmm. I told her about it. We played the record. I had a tape of it for her.
Oh.
And I told Ralph about it, too. And then from that, I worked for Henny Youngman on the Kate Smith show. Then I went from there to Milton Berle. And Milton brought me out here in 1941,
mm-hmm.
to write his show. He and Charles Lawton were doing a radio show.
Milton Berle and Charles Lawton?
Strange combination.
That certainly is. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And you had to write comedy for Berle and Lawton?
Well, most of the comedy was for Berle. Lawton didn't do too much comedy. And that lasted for one season, 39 weeks, and that went off. And from that, I went on to the Bing Crosby Kraft musical show. And also the Charlie Bergen, Edgar Bergen. I alternated.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I went on to the Seal Test Village Store show.
With Rudy Vallee.
Rudy Vallee, John Barrymore, and Joan Davis.
Did you write, did you write for Rudy at all on the Fleischman program?
No.
Just when he was on the Village Store?
That was before my time.
Yeah, that would be way before your time, that's right.
And that's where I met Dick Chevrolet.
Uh-huh.
They teamed us up. And we were partners for 25 years thereafter.
Now, who teamed you up?
I think it was Dick Mack, who was the producer of the show at the time.
Of the Village Store.
The Village Store, yes.
Mm-hmm. In other words, Dick Chevrolet was writing independently. He was just a single writer writing his comedy.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Well, how did you go about teaming up two comedy writers? Did you see you two guys write this part of it? Is that it?
Well, we wrote half the show, and the other writers wrote the other half.
I see. Uh-huh.
And then we were on that. Dick and I ran that show for 6 years. Other writers left it. After 2 years, we took it over, mm-hmm. just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote. Then Rudy, John died. John Barrymore died. Mm-hmm. And it was Rudy and Joan. And then Rudy was in the Coast Guard,
mm-hmm.
so he left the show. And Joan was on. And Jack Haley came on to work with her. And Joan and Jack were on for a few years. And then Joan left to go on to another show,
mm-hmm.
and Eve Arden came on.
With Jack.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And we finished up on that.
Well, that was a long run then.
It was 6 years. It was a 6 year
run,
yeah.
For that.
And for that, after that, we went to Phil Harris and Alice Faye.
Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just boom, boom, boom like that's that. Right. But you really, I did this, and
well,
and
that's all the chronological order. Yeah.
When you were writing for Bing Crosby on the Kraft Musical, I know Carol wrote for Bing for some time.
Was
he
head writer
there at the? Oh, he was the head writer.
He was the head writer. Yes. I was just working for Carol.
Nobody ever got on the air credit for writing, did they? On those Crosby shows?
No, they didn't. No,
that was all supposed to be real spontaneous.
As a matter of fact, Dick and I were the first ones that I can think of, outside of Don Quinn, who did the Fib McGee and Molly show, to get a air credit up front. Mm-hmm. We got it right up front, right at the beginning of the show, which was very unusual, very rare. And Don Quinn got it, and then Phil Leslie came on later with Don Quinn. So he got it, too.
Well, I think the writers in radio really deserve a tremendous amount of credit, because it, basically that was the whole thing. Everything was in the written
word. It was dialogue, that's right.
That was it. The whole thing was right there in the writing. Now, you had to have a lot of talented people to take those words and interpret
them. Well, we were fortunate. Mm-hmm. Dick and I were fortunate. We had very good performers to do the words we wrote. But, of course, I had to have the words.
That's right.
To do it naturally. But Phil and Alice and Elliot Lewis and Gail Gordon and Joan Davis and Jack, they're all great performers.
You had an opportunity to write from really first-class people, didn't you?
We did. Yes, we were very fortunate.
Well, from a writer's point of view, how do you develop a comedy show? Now, the one show that you and Dick wrote together totally was the Phil Harris Alice Faye show. You didn't have any other writers on that show with you, did you?
No.
So it was just the two of them. It was just the two of you working on that show together. Now, did you split up the first half and the second half, or did you write the whole thing together?
Well, when we wrote it together, just the two of us, we wrote the whole thing together. When we had other writers on the beginning of the series, then we split it up. Dick and I would write one half, and the others would write the other half. But after that, Dick and I wrote the whole thing.
How do you develop those ideas? It may be difficult to speak of it, I guess, because sometimes it comes from within, I know. But how do you, you sit down with a blank piece of paper, and you say, we got to do a half an hour for next Sunday night with Phil and Alice. Where does it come from?
From out of the air. that's our business, and we do it week after week. And I can't explain how it happens. As a matter of fact, sometimes I look back over my career, what I've done, and I say to myself, how did I do it? week after week, because it was... I mean, for 30-some-odd years. It's not easy, but it came easy to us. We happen to have... It's a God-given talent. It's not my fault. I'm very grateful for it. It just came easy. We did it.
Well, I suppose one of you would say, let's have Phil and Frankie...
Well, one of us would come up with an idea, and then we'd kick it around. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we come up with 10, 15 different ideas and throw them out. But we'd always come up with something because we had to do it every week.
Yeah. Before you actually sat down to put the words to paper, did you really have an idea of where you were going with the show? With that
sometimes
script?
Sometimes we didn't. Uh-huh. Sometimes we would start work on Monday. Mm-hmm. Not Monday. We start Tuesday because we do the show on Sunday. We took Monday off. We'd start work on Tuesday and kick around some ideas, the premises here and there. And we'd decide on a premise, and then we'd sit down and start working from the top of the page down to the bottom, the next page, so forth and so on. And we wrote it. We wrote it in about 3 or 4 days.
And they've performed it. Phil Harris said that basically they'd look over the script one day, and then the Sunday when they were into the show, that was it all in one.
Working for Phil and Alice was a writer's dream. Mm-hmm. We wrote the show. We ran the show. Phil and Alice didn't even see the script. Didn't know it was coming to them at the end of the week, until they came in from Palm Springs, and did the rehearsal on Friday. We did a rewrite on Saturday, and we did the show on Sunday. And they went back home. So it was wonderful. Nobody bothered us. Nobody told us what to do.
They didn't tell you they didn't like this or they didn't like that.
No. I only remember one show that Phil objected to. And over a period of nine weeks after that, we used everything on that show and other shows.
We didn't want to waste it. What did he object to? Or
I
can't
don't
you
remember. It was so long ago.
And there was a spot in each of those shows where Phil sang and then Alice sang.
Yes. At times we would cut one of the songs out for time because we didn't want to cut the script too much and hurt the script.
Now, did either of them have an objection to cutting a song?
No, they were wonderful about it. No. We cut Alice more often than we cut Phil, because Phil was a comedy singer most of the time. But Alice is wonderful. She was great about it.
The timing that those two guys had. Oh. Now, I said this to Phil Harris, and I've said this to Elliot Lewis, that I think that those two guys were to radio what Laurel and Hardy were to the movies and what Carney and Gleason were to television.
They were.
They worked so well together, and their timing was perfection.
Absolutely fantastic timing. Now, we had another man who's great, whose time was great, was Gail Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He could do more with one word, yes or no, than most people could do with a whole
thing. And the kid who played Julius,
Walter Tetley.
Walter Tetley,
yes.
Was a marvelous actor.
Yes, he was
for
great.
Time.
He was great.
Now, did these people ever come to you as the writer of the show and say, I don't like this line, or I can't, I'm not good with that line? Well, you were writing really for them, too, specifically.
Never had that problem. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it was just the other way around. I would go to them, mm-hmm, and say, well, this is the way I think you ought to do it. They would give this kind of a reading, and they would do that. And every week I would sit in Alice's dressing room for about an hour going over the script with her to see that she did it properly the way we intended it. So we didn't have any problem with them.
So
we were very lucky.
You were actually almost directing them then, weren't you?
Actually, I was, yes. Mm-hmm. We had a director, Paul Phillips, who directed the producer.
Mm-hmm.
But he would sit in the control room and do that, but I would get them on the side after the reading and tell them what I thought.
He had a lot of fun with Rexall in those shows, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Where you were able to... They didn't have a middle commercial as such.
No.
And you just wove stuff right through it.
Right through it, yes. Yeah. Well, they were wonderful about this, actually, because... Mm-hmm. We kidded, we had a character, Gail Gordon played the sponsor,
mm-hmm,
and we kidded him, and he kidded Remley. There was a feud between them. But we never knocked the product.
Oh, no, yeah.
We'd kid the sponsor, but we'd kid the product. Mm-hmm. That's important. Mm-hmm. And they took it, and they were great. And as a matter of fact, I think the public appreciated that. They felt they were good sports about it.
Oh, I think they probably did, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was just fun to... To hear the whole thing.
We had a wonderful... Dick and I had a wonderful time. I would say that was six of the happiest years of my life with those people. And I've done a lot of other shows, which I'll talk about later.
Yeah. Well, you there was one thing on the Phil and Alice show that I want to ask. Now, did you two fellows write that from start to finish? Were you with them when they started with the Fitch bandwagon?
No, we weren't on the first year.
Mm-hmm.
No, we missed the first year. We came on the second year. And we made changes. Mm-hmm. And what we did... In that show, the big change we made the first year, they had Phil as the falling down drunk that he was on the Jack Benny show, mm-hmm, where he played the stooge. Now, when a man is the head of his own show and he's a family man, you can't have him do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we put the onus on Remley.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil wants to go along with him, but he won't do it because of Alice and the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we took the onus off Phil and put it on Remley, and then they worked it together.
And yet Remley was... He was never really a falling down drunk on the show.
No,
really,
but he'd talk about it.
And he would certainly pass it up.
A lovable bum.
Yeah, right.
He and he was great. Elliot was just great.
Remley, it was an amazing thing. Now, Remley was the real Frankie Remley, a left-handed guitar player, was with Phil from way early on.
Oh, yes, they were buddies
for
many
years. Days.
Oh, yes.
And he was a great on-the-air audience for Benny.
And also for us.
And for your show,
he would laugh it up.
Because he was in the band. Now, the band on the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show was not led by Phil, was it?
No, it was led by Walter Shaw.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you some more about Walter Shaw later. I just finished writing a musical with Walter.
Did you?
Yeah.
Tell us now.
Uh-huh.
What kind of a musical?
It's for Broadway.
No
stage musical. In fact, right now, Walter's in London trying to get some talk to some backers now.
I guess you have to go to London these days to get the
back.
That's
right, you do. You can't do it. It costs a fortune. It must have cost $5, $6, $7 million.
I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
We'll look for
Thank
it. You want
to
can you tell us a name?
Yeah, Maharaja it's called.
Maharaja?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll look for it.
Yeah. I hope you see it.
I hope to see it. Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. So, and did you stay with the Phil and Alice show till its final conclusion?
No. We left it before the last year.
For the last year.
We went on television then.
Mm-hmm.
And the industry was moving over to television,
sure.
So Dick and I created our own show. It's a Great Life. I don't know if you remember that with Michael O'Shea and Jimmy Dunn and Bill Bishop. And that was that. We created that. We wrote it, produced it, and owned it. Own it to this day. And that was on for a couple of years in NBC.
That was a very nice show. It was a good,
show. Yeah.
Florence Bavier, was she on that show?
Yes, Frances Bavier. Yes.
Frances Bavier, that's right.
She played the mother.
Yeah. Well, that was a good comedy show.
Yeah, we enjoyed that too.
Not that you need me to tell you that. Certainly it was.
I like to hear it though.
I want to get into that. You have to ask one question. Maybe you don't know the answer to this because you didn't stay with the Harris Fay show to the very end. At one point I think it was maybe the last season or the second to the last season, they changed the name that Elliot Lewis played. They changed the character of Frankie Remley. They just called him Elliot.
I'll explain that to you. At that point, for some reason, I don't remember why, Phil and the real Frank Remley had a falling out.
Oh.
And Remley didn't want to let him use his name. As a result of which, we just changed it to Elliot. Confusing to the public, I'm sure.
With no explanation whatsoever.
No, he didn't explain it. But that's what happened. Yeah.
Well, I know because I've heard some of those later shows and couldn't figure out why, because it's absolutely the same character.
Yeah.
And everything else. Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that they had a little problem because of the long friendship that they had.
We all felt badly about it, but it's one of those things that happens.
Did you work with Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou on radio?
No.
Now, I know they started with Rudy Valley. I didn't know whether that was part of it. And you said before that you were working for Crosby on the Kraft Music Hall. Mm-hmm. That was through the war years then, probably. Huh?
Yes.
Early,
yes.
Not the hour-long shows.
Well, it was 1942.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those were rather patriotic shows.
Yes. I still have some scripts downstairs with them. And I tell you a funny thing. Mary Martin appeared as a guest on a number of the shows. And I had occasion to talk to Larry Hagman, her son, about a year or so ago. And I told him about the show. I said, I have some tapes. Would you like to have the tapes to your mother's show. He said, I'd love it. So I sent him some tapes of the show.
Oh, that's terrific.
1942, and he and Mary both enjoyed it.
Well, she appeared frequently with
toward the beginning of her career.
Well, that was such a natural thing. And there was a fellow on those shows by the name of Yuki.
Yuki Sharon. Yeah.
Now, he started out, I guess, not as a on-the-air comic. Wasn't he kind of a behind-the-scenes guy?
I don't think Yuki was ever on the air with Bing.
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yuki used to do the warm-ups with Bing.
In the studio.
He'd warm up the audience. I didn't remember Yuki ever being on the show.
Yeah, I've got some tapes where Yuki actually is on there doing a little bit with Bing.
Yeah, uh-huh.
A little comedy stuff like that. What other things did you do, Ray, in radio?
Radio?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told you all the shows I did in radio.
Once you got into the
television,
the Phil and Alice show, that was that took up
that was that.
All
I mean, the 6 years of that
brought that right up to the radio thing,
up to television,
up to TV.
Yes.
So you did a great life.
And then after that, we did a lot of shows, Danny Thomas shows.
Mm-hmm.
We did a year of Frank Sinatra's shows. We did a lot of freelance shows. I can't remember all of them, but there's so many I can't think of all of them. And then after 25 years, Dick and I split up. We decided we had it long enough, and we weren't getting as much work as we were as individuals. So I went over to Warner Brothers to produce the No Time for Sergeant show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on that for a year, and I did the Donna Reed. I produced Donna Reed.
Mm-hmm.
I produced the No Time for Sergeant. I produced Donna Reed, and then I don't remember what I did after that. In the meantime, Dick went on to the Green Acres show.
Oh yes,
he worked on that with
Eddie Albert and
Eddie Albert. Yes, and. Gabor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on to Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Dick and I wrote a few Lucy shows before that. And after we split up, I went back on Lucy. And I worked with Milt Josephburg. And then we created, Milt and I created Here's Lucy. And we wrote that for 5 years.
Boy, that was a nice little job to do there, right?
It was. There's another great performer, but one of the great, probably the greatest comedian of all time. Then Dick and I did a number of movies during that time. We did Neptune's Daughter with Esther Williams and Ned Skelton in 1949. Did Woman of Distinction with Rosalind Russell and Ray Milland. And we did Elvis Presley picture and a couple others I can't think of offhand. And then later on I did a picture with Rowan and Martin called The Maltese Bippy.
Oh, yeah.
A wild
That's
sort of
right.
thing. Did that with Everett Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a couple of Jack Benny specials with Jack.
For TV.
Mm-hmm. For TV. And,
did you use any of the write? Would you do that by yourself, or did you write with some of the people?
Benny, I wrote with I wrote with Sam Perrin, mm-hmm. George Balzer, Arthur Marx, and Bob Fisher.
Well, you've really had a fantastic opportunity to write from some of the best people of all.
I wrote for the best.
How was it different writing for television than radio?
Well, writing for television is more difficult, naturally, mm-hmm. because, as you mentioned before, all you do in radio is dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do is explain it, and people see it in their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Hal Cantor who said that radio is the theater of the mind, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in television, it's like movies. You have to show it, you have to see it. And you have to explain everything.
You have a lot more limitations writing for television or for movies, I suppose.
Of course you do. You can do things on radio you can't possibly do on television, which we did. We would do a scene of a horse race, a swayback horse in the radio that you couldn't do on television.
Because you couldn't find a horse.
You couldn't find a horse.
Swayback.
Like that's right. We did it, but it wasn't the same. It was quite the same. A lot of things you can't do that you could do in radio.
Well, your sound effects, just you wrote it, and the sound guy did what had to be done. And
that's right.
Which did you prefer doing?
Radio.
Radio?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. We had fun in doing both, but I like radio better.
Do you have a particularly favorite script that you were, either for radio or television, one that you thought was really... tremendously funny or specifically
there were three I did in radio that I offhand I can say I three of my favorites. One, they were all with Phil Harris and Alice Faye. One of them was a Mother's Day show where Phil and Frankie prepared the dinner for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very funny show. I have a tape if you want to hear it. I'll play it for you later. Another was the Christmas show that we did with Jack Benny as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Which we repeated six times. It became a traditional thing.
Where Jack played Santa Claus.
Played Santa Claus, yes. You remember the show?
Sure, Phil hires him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you remember. You remember. And then another one was the blood bank, where we had them go down to the blood bank to give their blood, which is a hilarious show. And which, as a matter of fact, the Red Cross used that show to pay on 2,000 stations all over the country to try to raise blood, the blood bank. Those three shows, offhand, I'd say, are my favorite shows.
Well, it's interesting with such a fantastic career spanning a lot of years and all of that. We could pinpoint a couple of radio shows.
Those are the ones like you remember. I've written by 1,000 or 1,200 shows.
Yeah.
And it's hard to remember all of them.
So, and besides the musical that you're working on now, anything else?
I have three straight plays that I'm trying to get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to get a play done on Broadway now.
Have you had any success with that at all in the past?
No, I haven't.
Is this kind of a new thing that you're...
Well, I retired more or less mm-hmm. a number of years ago and decided I wanted to write some plays, which I've done. And I've been teaching at UCLA for the last 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been teaching comedy writing there.
Oh, that has to be an outstanding course.
It is a good course.
A course from you,
a
master of comedy writing, would be wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much, Ray, for all the work that you did and for creating those great Phil and Alice shows and so many of the other things, the Lucy things on TV and everything. You did it. You made a substantial contribution to the entertainment of America with that. And it's, you know, we talked for a half an hour and said, well, this is what we did and all of that stuff. But that was, that's a career that made an impact on the life of so many people who turn to the radio or the TV for entertainment. And thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad it did. I'm glad I did that for the people. But it made a great impact on my life. I had a wonderful life doing this. I look back over it. It's just been great.
Well, what if Phil and Alice called you up and said, Ray, we want to do an hour special for radio for old time's sake. Would you like to write the
script? I'd jump at it, sure. Oh, sure.
I bet you would.
Oh, sure. I'd love it.
And I bet you that you could sit down in an afternoon, probably, and knock out a half an hour or an hour and nothing flat.
I probably could, yeah.
Because Frankie is still around. Remley.
Yeah, at least. He lives up in Oregon, mm-hmm. I think. He became a writer. He was writing mystery novels.
Mystery novels.
Yes, yes.
I know he had produced and done a lot of production and direction work.
He did very a talented lot. Man. Very talented.
Really,
man.
So much.
Very talented.
Like the man we're talking to. Thank you very much, Ray Singer.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate this interview. I'm flattered that after all these years, you can remember this.
Oh, we remember it and appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.